2020 has been full of ups, downs, all around. It's been a crazy year. One thing that I can say that is constant and that is not going to change is voting. So this is an election year, and not just for the presidential election, but also for Senate and for Congress. So you want to ensure that you have everything that you need to be able to vote safely and to make an informed vote. So one of the first things you need to do is go to vote.org. That is vote.org. You want to ensure that you are indeed registered to vote. I'm not sure where you live, but if you live in Georgia, you know that voter suppression has been a huge issue and that there have been thousands and thousands of people that have been removed from the voting rolls. And you want to ensure that you are not one of those people. So go to vote.org and make sure that you are registered to vote. If you're unable to go to vote.org online, you can also call 866-O-U-R-V-O-T-E, and that is 866-R-VOTE if you have to dial by phone, just to ensure that all your information is up to date and correct. Also, one of the next steps you want to do once you ensure that you know you are indeed registered to vote is you want to have a voting plan, and you want to do that in advance. Here in Georgia, October the 12th starts early voting, so you don't want to wait until election day, to be honest, because we're not sure how this is gonna be. So if you do want to vote in person, make sure that you go and vote early, make sure you know where to vote. And also, if you wanna do an absentee ballot because you wanna be safe, make sure that you have your absentee ballot, that you requested it well enough in advance, and that you have it and you're ready to go. And if you do not trust the mail, know that you can go to an actual polling location. They have boxes specifically marked for absentee ballots, and you can put your ballot in one of those boxes. So ensure, one, that you're registered to vote, and two, ensure that you have a voting plan. We know that this is gonna be a different election, but please make sure that you arm yourself with all the tools necessary to ensure that you make a well-informed vote.
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 Hello, Outlet. How are you all doing? So this is our first time having a larger group of our leaders here together, and I have missed you all. I read a nice how-to book on preaching in front of people. It's been a long time. And so for everyone watching at home as well, welcome. We are so grateful for you and who you all are in our lives. I want you all to know, whether we're in person or whether we're online, we are all knit together in love, in the unity of the faith. And it's just our desire to just create and build community as the Lord leads us. Well, you all can be seated here. If you're watching at home, I'm going to encourage you to get your Bible. We're going to get right into the Word on today. I am really, really excited. And just for those who are in the room, can we welcome our online audience today? Just give it up for them. I've already been in the comments just saying good morning. I'm just so excited that with technology, we can be in multiple places at one time. And technology has been good to us this year. And we're just taking our time. What this is we're just taking our time in making sure that we're covering all bases as we head toward what it looks like to gather in person. We're here meeting right now at the Elevator Factory. This is where we house all of our offices, our recordings, our meeting space. And so as you all can see for yourself today, God has been good to the Outlet in 2020. He opened up an opportunity to be here in January of this year. And so we did not know when God was opening up an opportunity to be in this particular place that this would also serve as a place for us to minister, to love on, and to reach the world. We've been recording here for 7 straight months, and I need to give a shout out to all of the volunteers and people who have been helping us to put on excellent worship experiences week in and week out. Those that you can see playing instruments, there's those who are behind the cameras or behind the scenes with our video, our audio. Another group who a lot of times doesn't get a lot of shout out, but we have to, is our emerging generation team. They put together content for our babies all the way up to our high school students. And this has been a team effort this year. And I'm excited about the future of what God has for the Outlet and your life. But are y'all ready to get in the Word today? All right. So for those who are here in person, I'm going to need you all to stand in proxy for those who are online. And those who are online, I want you all to stand in proxy for those who are here in person, meaning I need you all to speak for those who aren't here. And those who are online, I need you to speak for those who need to be speaking, who are in here. So we all need to speak to each other. I don't mind you all talking back. A few weeks back when we recorded our message to kick off Grace Great Grow, we had a smaller group in here. And the first time I heard amen, I was like, wow, I hadn't heard that before, you know, because it amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 19 today. We're going to continue our series. This is part 3 in the series, Grace, Grit, Grow. Someone say it after me, Grace, Grit, Grow.
Grace, Grit, Grow.
Someone say it and then someone type it. Say, Grace, Grit, Grow.
Grace, Grit, Grow.
Let's keep on going here. I want you all to repeat this after me. Grace gets you to the door.
Grace gets you to the door.
Grit gets you through the door. But growth keeps you in the room. Grace, Grit, Grow. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Let's look at our thematic thrust on today. In the New Living Translation, it says, and when there was no reason for hope, come on, somebody, Abraham kept hoping. we're gonna talk about this today. It said, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, in our moments together, in our time in your word, God, open up every heart, open up every life, and as I'm talking, speak directly to everyone, whether they're watching live, whether they're in person or they're watching this and listening to this on demand through our podcast with a pigeon with a note on it, however they are consuming this message, help us to see what you have for us. In Jesus' name, everyone says amen. Amen. You know, before we go further in scripture, I really want to talk about sports for a moment, if I can. It's just an excuse for me to go back to this previous NBA basketball season that lasted almost 12 months. And at the very end, the Los Angeles Lakers were crowned NBA champions. I don't know if we have any Laker fans online or, okay, we don't have any in here. But there was one performance in the finals that stood out to me when I think of what we're talking about today. And for those who remember Jimmy Butler's performance in game 5 of the NBA finals, you see Jimmy Butler's Miami Heat. Number one, the Miami Heat were the unsung heroes of the NBA, NBA. And they made it all the way to the finals, but quickly found themselves down 3-1. And they almost, but gave the title to the Lakers. Well, in game 5, Jimmy Butler decided to step up and he played every minute except about 48 seconds out of the 48 minutes of that game and put up a stellar performance of 35 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists, and 5 steals. In fact, he scored 9 of the Heat's last 11 points. And at the end of that game, because we had a moment where we were able to capture an image of Jimmy Butler toward the final minutes where he was leaned over on the side of the scorer's table because he gave it all. He left it all on the court. And Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Miami Heat, said that Jimmy Butler's will to win was unmatched. And it led me to think about, I believe, a lost art inside of Christianity, especially Western Christianity, where we've lost the will to win because we've been passive because of a bad teaching of God's sovereignty. Well, if it's the Lord's will, then it's the Lord's will. If God must will it for my life, then we might as well allow it to happen. And we lost the fabric of a word I want to call grit. And so with the revelation that we've talked about in the previous 2 weeks of this series, we talked about the revelation of God's grace, meaning God's free gift to us all, nothing missing, nothing broken. It guarantees shalom. It guarantees that whatever need you have in your life, God has said in his goodness that he's going to provide it. It's in his grace that he's going to give it. But what we fail to realize that even though it is given, unless we appropriate the faith properly, we won't access it. And so we always have these moments where we're like, God, you've been so good, but why don't I see all the goodness that I read about? It's this word called grit. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18, Abraham, and as we've looked in times past on Abraham and just how bleak his situation was. So I want to talk to someone today who feels like their situation is bleak. Your situation is dark. What you're believing for, you're having a hard time holding on to it. And it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. In the New Daily Study Bible, it says, in hope, Abraham believed beyond hope. And I looked at this particular phrase in the Greek, and it showed me that this is the only time in Scripture hope is used in this particular context. You see, the Greek word for hope is a word called ellipsis. And the word ellipsis means the source or the basis for hope. So it takes this word ellipsis and uses the word no. Well, in the Greek, English, and Swahili, no just means it ain't happening. It means no. And so what it's saying is that Abraham still was able to believe when he had no source or basis to keep believing. Sometimes we pray and ask God for things to be done in our life, and we see that all of this negative circumstances and all of the reasons as to why it can't happen. And what Satan hopes is that if I can keep discouraging you long enough, then I can get you to let go of what God has already said. So Abraham said, I know what this natural circumstance looks like. I know what history says. I know what tradition says. I know what culture says, but I'm hooked on what God said. It said that he kept believing when there was no reason to believe. And so the title of part three of Grace, Grit, Grow is something that I want you to hold on to, which is simply entitled Hope When It's Hopeless. Hope when it's hopeless. The word grit is defined as firmness of mind or spirit. It's unyielding courage and resolve in the face of hardship or danger. It's the strength of character. It's persistence. So with all of these things that we read in Scripture, we have to couple that with the firmness of mind and spirit. We have to go to the Word of God and say, I understand what this world is telling me, but I'm unyielding my courage to believe God at face value. You see, as long as we believe that everything depends on our efforts, we are bound to be pessimists. But when we believe in God's power, we become optimists because with God, anything is possible. You see, if we drop down to Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. And you could put the word body in verse 19, or you could put marriage in verse 19, or you can put career in verse 19, or you can put business in verse 19. You can put whatever you believe in your life is as good as dead. Your love life, your online dating app, whatever you believe is as good as dead. But this phrase that Paul writes in Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, considered his body, it means that he made allowances for every relevant factor that was pertaining to his life. He did not deny the state of reality. And he concluded that the certainty of the divine promise outweighed every natural improbability. So what is Paul saying to us? He's saying having grit does not mean denying our reality, but rather it's important that with grit, you don't allow your reality to deny you from having what God said concerning your life. So it's saying that I understand what everything looks like. I understand what I'm up against. I hear all that. I get all that. But none of that is going to change whether or not God's word is true concerning my life. The only thing the odds do is give you a greater testimony of what God desires to do through your life. It means that every time you tell me something bad, every time you tell me that I shouldn't have this, every time you tell me that there's no way I can have that, only thing you're doing is you're making stair steps to this testimony that I am going to share with this entire world. Maybe you have a testimony at home where someone said to you that there is no natural way for you to have what you see in your spirit. You need to tell whoever is saying it, I thank you for sharing that, but I want you to understand that if God God has said concerning my life, I'm supposed to have something, then I don't need a natural basis to tell me that God is real. I'm going to take what I can't see and make what I can see. Fannie Lou Hamer said, you can pray until you faint, but unless you get up and try to do something, God's not just going to put it in your lap. We're missing this element in our Christian walk of stick with it. Don't let it go. Don't give up. This year has probably been the year from hell for some. And it has probably given you every reason to give up. But this is the reason to have grit. Because when you bring the grace God has on your life to this doggedness in your mind that I am not about to give up now. Satan, if you wanted me to give up, you should have took me out when you had the chance. You should have took me out before I saw this in the word for myself. You should have took me out when I was at my lowest moment. You had a shot to do it and you couldn't, which means that I am here for a reason. I am here for a purpose. There is something greater on the other side of what seems dark that God desires to bring forth in our life. You see, when we have grit, it means that you do not weaken your resolve. Galatians 6:9, the New Living Translation, it keeps it real. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Now, I've got I've got really good friends in here right now who are watching me, and they're really big into fitness, and I'm going to tell on myself in front of everybody. So I go about 3 weeks of doing good, and I don't have to suck in to button some pants, and I'm like, well, that was great, and move on to doing what's not good. Am I the only one? All right. If we want to see substantial change, I need to take those 3 weeks and make those 6 weeks. And those 6 weeks and make 12 weeks. And 12 weeks and make 24 weeks. 24 weeks to 48 weeks. And before you know it, I'm at a year and a half. I need to not get tired of doing what's good, because at just the right time, how many of us quit at the wrong time and don't make it to our right time? Anytime you feel like quitting, that's the wrong time. Because grit cooperates with grace. And another word for grit that I want to give you all today, because, you know, these are very cool, catchy words that help to anchor what I'm talking about. But another word for grit is faith. In our society, faith almost has a passive tense to it. I'll give you an example. You know, according to my faith, I believe in upholding certain morals, values, and standards. As a person of faith, this is what... And so when we hear faith, we think that it's a passive word. Faith, biblical faith, is actually active. Go to James chapter 2. Faith is active. So another word for grace, grit, grow is grace, faith, grow. We're talking about that middle part there. Hope when it's hopeless. You see, faith will have you doing what others call crazy until they're calling on you to save them. That's faith. If you don't question whether or not you've lost your mind, you're not in faith yet. And so in James 2 and 22, James, the brother of Jesus, who now is sitting as the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and he's communicating, he's having to take a moment where he has to address all of the 12 tribes of Israel that are scattered abroad. And he's like, listen, I only have one sermon, so here's my shotgun message. And picking up in this shotgun message in James 2, he deals with the fallacy of faith. You see, you don't have to wear a Christian t-shirt to tell people that you're Christian. Your life should be the billboard. So what he's saying here is that people are saying that they're people of faith, but there is nothing corresponding to what they say they believe. Your life is the billboard of what you believe. So if we're really in faith, then your life will align to what you're in faith for. If you're in faith to have nothing, then your life will align to do nothing. But if you really are in faith for what you believe you're in faith for, you are going to prepare when no one is there. See, what you do, what you won't do in your downtime is what you can't do in prime time. When no one is looking. Man, let me tell you about this team that I get the privilege of serving with week in and week out. So individual members of the team, outside of what we do during the week, they have their own separate businesses that they're all getting off the ground at the same time. And they are going for it. I mean, filled with grace, but their hours to me seem like, whoa, in the world, do y'all ever sleep? But there's an excitement along with it. There will be seasons where you won't have banker hours. But just know it's to get things off the ground so that you can have restful hours. We're going to talk about that when we go into next week when we talk about grow, how to have that tension and that balance. Because when I'm talking about grit, I'm not talking about grind. Grind is working hard when you're doubting in what God called you to do. Grit is working smart knowing that he's graced you to do what you're doing. Called us to grit, not grind. So that means when God says rest, you rest. That means when God says take your hand off it, you take your hand off of it. When God says delegate, you delegate. Because you're grit. You have a grit. And so that means there will be times where you may be up till 3 a.m. But you're going to have this energy that you can't explain. That's called God's grace. But if it's a struggle, then you're forcing it. And your calling is a lot like a ponytail. Don't force that, baby. Don't force it. Jokey, jokey. I enjoyed that. That was great. We got a chance to laugh together. So, verse 22, James is saying, you see his faith, referring to Abraham. So he's going back to the same text we're in. He said, you see his faith by his actions. They work together. His action made his faith complete. Verse 26, just as the body is dead without breath, so faith is dead without corresponding actions from grace or good works. Grit remains consistent and locked in even when the external motivation has gone. Even when, like Earth, Wind, and Fire said, after the love is gone. When everything is gone, you're still locked in. No one can push you off of what God said. No one can change your mind. One thing my team understands is I'm open for different ideas. I'm not open for different visions. You can challenge everything about what I do except what God has called me to do. The Outlet community is called to build community and create legacy. One of the values that I love the most is find a way. If all you tell me is what I can't do, what can't happen, if you ever want to see me rise to the best, tell me what is impossible. Because I immediately know that that's not something I need to deal with. I need to hand that to God because that then becomes possible. Have a mindset that you say, find a way. How do we turn an event space into a church meeting and gathering setting as we're waiting for different opportunities that we have in the city to open up for us to meet? You find a way. Find a way. That's the mindset that God wants us to have. Go to Romans chapter 5 as I close. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 5 today. Amen, amen, amen. for my ego, and I haven't had a chance to ask this in about 7 months. Y'all getting something from this today? I normally got to ask after the broadcast. Romans 5 and verse 3 through 5. We'll look at this and close today. So with this mindset, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. We can rejoice. We can be excited. You know, this is beautiful in relationships. We tell couples all the time that when you run into conflict, you can get excited. Why? For we know that they help us develop endurance. A good relationship has been through some stuff. Oh, y'all gonna pull me today. All right, we're gonna talk today. A good relationship has been through some stuff. In your relationship, if you ain't wanna go there, y'all ain't really talking yet. Like, oh my gosh, we don't ever fight. We love each other. We just see the best and we just, y'all ain't dating. Y'all ain't together yet. But can I get even from the married folk in the room? Until you get that moment where you like, ooh, if I wasn't smart, because I ain't gonna do nothing with Ashley. Ashley a cold-blooded killer. Don't let that smile fool you. She's from St. Louis, not Mississippi. St. Louis. If y'all seen the Wayne Brady and Dave Chappelle show, Ashley's Wayne Brady, if y'all seen that. But going through some trials, some turbulence, and banding together creates an endurance, or it answers the question of, when it gets tough, will you leave me? When it gets shaky, will you leave me? When it gets ugly, will you leave me? When it gets different than what we envisioned, will you leave me? What you see in relationships is after you climb hurdle after hurdle after hurdle, after hurdle, there's a calm confidence that knows when trials arise, we're gonna band together. We're gonna make it through this. Well, marriage is the earthly picture of God's relationship to us. What he's saying is, when it gets tough, are you gonna leave me? Are you gonna abandon what I said? Are you gonna question me now just because it didn't happen the way that you thought it was supposed to happen? Are you going to doubt my integrity when I've never let you down before? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to know that if you look at the track record of your whole life, it might have not happened as you thought, but it happened better than you believed? And I promise to never leave you. So with you and God, you're a majority. So band together and get stuff done. That business you've been out there saying, I don't know if I should. If God put it in your heart, get stuff done. The negative medical report that you got from the doctor, I understand that it's there, but you and God are a majority, so band together with his word and get stuff done. Let's have a mindset about us. Let's be a community that says we're not quitting under any circumstance. You might hit me. I might stumble, but I'm not falling and staying there. Get stuff done. Amen. Can we pray today? Whether you're here in the room or whether you're watching right now online, this is our time to pray together. My heart's desire is that you're encouraged to do what God has called you to do. There's so much that he has planned for you, so much in store for your life, if you would just trust him. Think about your life right now. I know it might seem dark. Think about all the times it was dark before, and yet God rushed in to be with you. That's his desire, is to be with you, not to leave you, but to be with you and stick with you throughout every ebb and flow of life. Can we pray together? If you're in here, if you're watching right now, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Maybe the relationship has been distant, but whatever it is, we're praying together right now. And the Spirit of God is here to just wrap his arms around you, give you the affirmation that you need to let you know, hey, you're grading yourself on a scale that God didn't even ordain. And he's telling you today that you are accepted, that you are loved, all that he knows about you, yet he hasn't changed his mind concerning you. Can we pray together? Heavenly Father, you are so wonderful. You are so gracious. I'm trusting in your Spirit. I thank you for the fellowship that comes in being with you. May we never lose sight of who you are in our lives. May you fire that gift back up on the inside of us. May you fire that passion back up on the inside of us. For any person who laid down any dream, any person who's cast aside their hope, may they pick it back up today and hold on to it, that this is a sign from you that they are not to let go of what you called concerning their life. May our eyes stay fixed on you, God. May you heal our hearts, heal our bodies, heal our families. It's in your name we pray. Well, if you pray with me, there's some information that's coming up on screen. Just simply text me. Say, I prayed with you to the number 770-667-4899. I prayed with you to 667-4899. Myself, along with my team, would love to follow up with you and just see how we can take the next step in this journey called life. Life is a marathon, but let's not run this marathon alone. Well, today, as we stay in this heart of worship, we're going to receive our offering on today. And so there's two ways to give at the Outlet Community. As you see on the screen, you can give either by texting the number 73256 and the letters TOC, and a link will come back to you. You can complete that link and follow the next steps, and you'll be able to complete your gift that way. Or you can go to theoutletcommunity.com/give. And as you partner with us today, understand that it's your faithful and continued worship to God through your giving and your generous support that allows us to continue to preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. We would not have been able to build out this online campus. We would not have been able to maintain all of our facilities without your support of the Outlet Community. And I want to thank you, because that's only the beginning of the seed that you sown into this ministry. Well, we're inside of November, and we are going to be kick off what I call a season of giving. One thing that we're learning through all of our surveys and through having conversations with our various members and partners of the Outlet Community is that the primary goal of this season is not to rush everybody to get back in person, but it's to open up avenues where we all can create community together. One thing that really weighed on my heart this year was the ability to make sure that everyone was being looked after, that we were checking on those. And whenever we get a report that someone was checked on, it would make my heart glad, but my mind immediately raced to who are we not connecting with. And so in this season, our heart is to just create avenues where not only we can create a community together, but we can build our community. So in this season of giving, starting November 12th, we're going to have our first outreach. And one thing about outreach is do what feels comfortable to you. We're not rushing anyone in any particular direction, but we're saying that whatever you feel comfortable with, just help us with that. Whether it's prayer, if you are committing during this season of giving, as we're going out into our community to help keep families together, help minister to the homeless, help provide toys and food, whatever it is, if it's you're committed to praying, please do that. Your prayers are powerful. That's the most important thing that you can do for us at the Outlet Community. The second way is giving. If you are a person that says, hey, I might not be able to get out into the actual community, I'm not necessarily there in the Atlanta area, or I'm just not able because of my schedule or what have you, but I want to make sure I'm supporting what you all are doing this holiday season. Know that every gift that goes into our missions fund in the month of November will be used for distribution of the gospel. But finally, there are those who are saying like, hey, I'm ready to get with it. I'm ready to get out. I'm ready to stuff bags. I'm ready to go and love on those who may not have someone to love on them during this time. Well, if that's you, there's a link coming on screen, as well as you can text SERVE to 770-667-4899. All of the upcoming outreach events are available at theoutletcommunity.com. Inside of our events section, you're able to see all that we're going to do this holiday season, because I believe that our best days are still out in front of us. Well, I want to thank you all so much for being here in person. I want to thank you all who are watching, who are listening live or on demand. On behalf of my wife and I, we love you so much. And we count it an honor to come into wherever you are today. We commit to praying for you, and we speak wholeness over you. We say shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll see you next time on The Outlet. God bless.